The call of God through Moses was so definite. Come out of Egypt and come in. God never gave up until he had a people that were willing to enter into Canaan. And then these giants and these nations had to be subdued and overcome. And so God finally, Joshua said, there hath not failed one thing of all that God promised to do. In spite of the fact that here we read, he did not bring them in. That was only the beginning. That was only a prelude. But here is a call that comes from, not from Moses, but from Jesus Christ, and it's just as definite. And it comes to us. That's wonderful. He's going to bring us out. He has brought us out. And now he must bring us in. And the wonderful thing is that that place where he brings us in is the place where he is himself at the right hand of God. Oh, it's a very definite call, and every Christian has that call. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it is a sad thing that we're satisfied to be saved, and maybe to speak in tongues, satisfied to be babies. But when a child is born into this world, it's born with the hope that it'll become a man or a woman, a full-grown human being. And here God says in the preceding chapter, they did not understand my ways. Their heart always erred. They wouldn't have my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they got stuck in the wilderness. They were overthrown in the wilderness. And isn't that the thing that's happened to the church today? Overthrown in the wilderness. When you see the discussions that are going on today in church circles, in conventions, you're shocked out of your wits. They're changing the Bible now. Mind you, some of these fundamental churches one time are now wanting to change the Bible because they say it isn't up to date, it isn't modern, it isn't fit for our young people to read. While all this pornography is flooding the nation, how far did the church sink? And it's simply because their hearts always do err. They did not understand my ways. Oh, to understand his ways. Here it says, some must enter in. God is not going to give up, no matter how we give up. God isn't going to give up his plan. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. We can understand what that meant. Why? It was at that time that God created man in his image. It was at that time that the Son of God was dedicated to take up that great work of creating sons of God. That was God's great plan. That was the blueprint. That was the foundation that was laid before the foundation of the world. And when man came from the hand of the Creator, Adam and Eve, the Bible says they were naked and knew it not. They didn't have to know it. They were not naked in the sense that we call naked. They were not occupied with themselves. They were not concerned about themselves. They were not interested in themselves. They lived by the light of Jehovah. They were filled with the light of Jehovah. And anybody that looked at them saw Jehovah. They were his sons. The Bible says Adam was the son of God. Oh, how pure. We haven't any idea how pure and lovely and beautiful and powerful Adam and Eve came upon this earth to rule over all creation. By the wisdom of God, they had no wisdom of their own. They had no words of their own. They had no light of their own. God looked through their eyes. God spoke over their lips. God worked through their hands. And then they fell. They fell into darkness. They fell into blindness. They fell into the arms of the enemy. They became fallen gods. but God never gave up. Some must enter therein. Some must be like Jesus. That's the thing. Some must be like Jesus. And when God saved us, and that's the wonderful thing, that we're called today after so long a time. God calls. Today, if ye will hear his voice. That's the outstanding feature of Hebrews. It's the voice of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, by Moses and by the prophets, he spoke to them through the Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The Son comes. He calls you. He says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I'm not going to give up until you are one with me as I am with the Father. What a call! But who heeds that call? Who cares about that call? Who follows on? That's why again and again in the New Testament, we're warned not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. I didn't know that hope until Jesus came into my heart. I cannot explain what happened when I was born again. It was so wonderful that for months I walked as in a dream. God did it for some reason and somehow. And that hope became a living hope in my soul. The hope that Paul speaks of. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus will be before us until we have attained to it. I shall be satisfied only when I wake with thy likeness. The sad experience when we're satisfied with our spiritual experience. And yet, how many of us are? I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. When today you look into Pentecostal publications, you find a lot of boastfulness. Oh, how we love to have people know that we've got something. In our testimonies, often, we like people to know how spiritual we are. We don't know how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked we are. Only Jesus Christ is spiritual. Only he is righteous. He alone is holy. He stands at the door and knocks. He wants to come in and sup with me to be my life. That's the goal that is set before me. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That's a big call. That's a heavenly call. At that third chapter, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. I often think of that when I shake hands with people. Holy brother, holy sister. And you can say that without getting red in the face. Holy brethren. Can I call you that this morning? Holy brethren, you've got nothing to do with this world anymore. You've come out from among them. You've been crucified to the world with all the flesh, with all the lust, and the world has been crucified unto you. And we're rushing toward the goal. We're pressing toward the mark. And he tells us how. First of all, by the word of God, if ye will hear his voice. He says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. How soon would I have put out my hand to defeat their enemies? Their peace would have been like a river. But he says, my people didn't want me. Oh, when I want Jesus, I'll want his word. And I'll not only want the Bible, I'll not only want to read the Bible, but I'll say, oh God, fill me with the knowledge of thy will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's different. You're transformed by this word. It's quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, that's what I need. It's Christ himself He says, all things are open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you know that one of our greatest sins is our stupidity, our dumbness? Oh, how stupid we are. Schwarze Hennen legen weiße Eier. Für die Dummheit gibt es keine Steuer. They ought to raise a tax for stupidity. We wouldn't need any other taxes. When this week I was praying with somebody that was sick, very sick, and this party said, oh, somebody, a saint in this assembly, gave me a book to read that tells that this sickness is of the devil. I said, for goodness sake, why exalt the devil? We're through with him. Saints will go and dig fountains that are full of rotten, stinking poison instead of going to the Bible. Here in this Bible, God speaks to me by his Son. When the rich man woke in hell, he said, how did I get there? Please send Lazarus to my five brothers. They're just like I am. They're all deacons. And some of them are preachers, Bible teachers. But they're just as dumb as I was. Why, God said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them. What? Who in the world cares for Moses and the prophets? Oh, listen, the gospel was preached to them, but it didn't profit them, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Let us therefore fear. Oh, I ought to be filled with this fear of God that comes to me by the word of the Lord, that makes me tremble at his word. Then God will look upon me in mercy. Just think what a wonder it is that Christ speaks to us. And he speaks to us through the New Testament. I said to the German people, it would be good for you to burn all the books you got, except those that I've written, and get to the Bible. I was just a joke, you know. You have to tell some people jokes or they won't wake up. They won't listen to you at all unless you touch their crazy bone, and then they wake up. But oh, this Bible, this New Testament is not only waiting to speak to you, but it's waiting to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart and to lead you to the fountain of cleansing. Now ye are clean because of the words that I have spoken unto you. And it's strange to me, but it's true, that today, 70 years Bible study, every day it yields more light, more grace, more of the fear of God to my soul. Oh, how I need it and how I appreciate this New Testament. There is all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given to us in this New Testament. Christ is given to me in the New Testament, and no one can know Jesus Christ except as he loves his word and obeys it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let us therefore fear. Oh, that fear of God that came upon Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Listen, if your heart isn't touched by the fear of God, get to God. He'll do it for you. He will. I stood at the bedside of one of our brethren who was dying. I had been up with him all night. I'd never seen such suffering. Now he was dying. He said, Brother Waldfogel, please forgive me. I used to get so angry at your strong preaching. But he said, for God's sake, don't stop it. You don't preach half strong enough. If I had taken it, I wouldn't be dying now. Sister Haas was with me. She heard it. What a testimony. What a testimony. One time he stayed away about 3 months from the church. And then he came back and he said, well, I can't find what my soul needs anywhere else. Coming back. Oh, if I had only taken it. My people had only hearkened. Listen, some must enter in, and they entered not in because the word spoken did not take root. God was not able to make them know his way. They would have none of my ways. Israel would none of me. Oh, Jesus, is it you that speaks to me? Then let me pay Holy Ghost attention. Let me be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Let this word be alive. Let it be a living judge. We have been chafing. I have been seeking the Lord day and night to show us what is the matter. We have wonderful healings now again in Germany. Wonderful, certain, instantaneous wonders God performs, and then some of God's choicest saints are suffering. It's wrong. We ought to say, God, what is the matter? And maybe it isn't their fault at all. You know, we're moving together. But oh, the carelessness toward God's word. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that's the blessing that God brings to us by his word, a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Oh, we're very nice on the outside. And oh, how well we think of ourselves. How we admire ourselves, how we admire our spirituality. The devil helps us to do that. That's a dangerous thing to do. Blessed is the man that feareth always. In the fear of the Lord is safety. The early church walked in the fear of God and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were edified. And God calls me, oh, thank you, Jesus Christ, for call, not only saving me, but calling me with a holy call. But how do I know what my call is? How do I know? They have a movement in Germany. Some of our people have been there. It's a woman, of course. She is the prophetess. She forbids their people to come to our meeting because she cleanses them. She cleans them up. And when they're cleansed, then they have the promise that when they die and go into the grave, they'll never decay. Now, what in the world do you want to lie in the grave for? That's the bait that attracts them. They'll listen to false prophecies. Listen, you've got all that pertains to life and godliness here. If you don't get this, you'll certainly go astray, because Satan is transformed into an angel of light, and God is very wise to give us 12 apostles and no more. We have apostolic churches galore, and they've all gone astray. I believe there are apostles. I know there are apostles. But the real apostle is not going to advertise himself to be an apostle. He's going to advertise Jesus Christ. He's not going to attract the disciples to himself. He's going to send them to Jesus, like John the Baptist did. But God was very wise to give Israel one Moses. There was the foundation, so that the people knew where they stood. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, they won't listen if one rose from the dead. And we have this blessed New Testament. Thank God. It's the word that God spoke to us by his Son. It's a testament. It's a bequeathment in which the unsearchable riches of Christ are made over to me if I will have them. And what are these riches? Jesus Christ says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Oh, if you want his meekness and his lowliness, then you'll come out all right. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He names them. And here he tells us the word of the Lord. Oh, thank God, when I open this Bible, God opens his heart to me. He speaks to me. I can open this book anytime and hear my Father speak to me. I don't need to envy Moses at the burning bush because he heard the Lord speak. He got frightened. I don't have to get frightened. It's the loving Father speaking to his child, to his baby. He gives me his word, living, powerful, sharp. And then he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest to his sight, but all things are open and naked unto him, the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, when I open my book, here my Father is there in all his glory. He surrounds me. He has beset me behind and before and laid his hand upon me. Oh, let me sink before my God and hearken diligently. And the way to do that is to let him speak to me through his word. You open the Bible and you read one sentence and presently you feel an unction inside you. Ever happened to you? You close your eyes. You wait a while and it is like honey out of the rock. It's like the oil of joy within your soul. God writes his word into your heart. He gives you the substance of it. You're changed. You're transformed. We need this Bible study. We need to eat this bread that comes down from heaven until we love it, until it creates substance within us. This is the divine seed of the kingdom of which Jesus says it's the mystery of the kingdom. The seed of God sown in your hearts and bringing forth that whereunto God sent it. Beloved, these things are marvelous, wonderful. And there's the other item that he speaks of. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. He gives you the testament, now you can go. He gives you the bank book, now you can go to the bank. Present your requisition and you'll get it. When you got a deposit in the bank, say $1,000, you can go up to the teller and he'll honor your check for $50 or $75 or $100. He's got to. It's yours. Beloved, it's mine. Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. And I cannot honor God except by the faith that makes me come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's why he says, today, if you will hear his voice. Is his voice sweet to your heart? Are you glad when he tells you, wretched and miserable, come on, I got gold for you, try it in the fire. People get mad when you tell them that they're wretched and miserable. Oh, but we ought to be so happy. Do you think a beggar on the dunghill will be mad if you tell him, come on there, old Schnickel Fritz. I built the palace for you. Come on. We'll put you through the delousing station first and then put a crown of gold on your head and make you rule over a kingdom. He won't mind to deny that dunghill. And when Jesus calls me, Jesus, oh, we hear that 1,000 times, don't we? But it doesn't impress us until the Holy Ghost puts that sword into your soul. And he does, thank God. Oh, I thank God for what I saw in Europe and in India, too. I had the joy of seeing a number of young men. They perked right up. One said, you know, when I first heard you, I got angry. But now, the thing has got into my soul. He says, now I want to kiss you. For an Indian to do that. God got into his soul. In Germany, likewise. Oh, it's been wonderful to my soul to see souls growing in grace. But they're not there yet, and you and I are not yet there, but we must enter therein. We'll be remorseful throughout the ages of eternity. Oh, what will it be to get there and to see the unspeakable glories of eternity and to say, now it might have been mine if I hadn't been so careless. God, this day we pray there shall be a multiplication, there shall be an enlargement in our souls just for Jesus' sake. Oh, God, just for the sake of your call, because some must enter therein. Oh, God, you've extended your mercy to Israel for 40 years, and you've extended your mercy to us for almost 40 years. And now we pray that thou wilt take us as we are and make us such as you have planned we should be in thy sight.